Today on Our Town, now joining me is Kathleen Kuntz. She is with a group called Every Child. Now, they are out of Eugene, and I think they're statewide.
Yeah, they are.
But you're doing a Florence chapter of that right now.
Sure, correct, yeah.
All right, let's just quickly tell me what Every Child is in a nutshell, and then we'll talk a little bit about you, too.
Okay, so yeah, Every Child is an organization that started in about 2011 in the basically up in the Portland area. And it started as a response. It was just a group of individuals that saw that there was really a significant need in foster care in their community. There was gaps in the needs that DHS was able to meet. There were not enough foster families, and the number of children that were needing care was growing exponentially. And so Every Child was a group of people that came together and started to brainstorm, how can we impact this situation? And so they've come up with a structure on how Every Child works with DHS inside of a community. They were so impactful in Portland that the DH offices there asked them to spread across the state of Oregon. And Every Child asked, well, where should we start? What's the highest need? And the response was Lane County was the greatest need outside of the Portland area. So the Eugene chapter started about 2 years ago, and we spread here to Florence just in November of this last year.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Let's talk a little bit about you now. What's your background?
Well, I am a registered nurse. I've been nursing for about 21 years. I'm a mom of a three-year-old, and I'm in a pursuit myself of working on an adoption. Our family is, and we've been around a lot of families over the years that had foster care kids and have done adoptions. And so it's kind of always been on the back of our mind. But just recently, through our own processes for an adoption, we became acutely aware of the desperate needs really happening in foster care in our community.
So you've got a three-year-old now, and
yeah.
So you're learning all about this. And there's that bond there, obviously, but it's not difficult to bond with a foster child either, is it?
Well, I have not yet been a foster parent. There's a part of me, my own fear in being a foster parent is that I would bond too much and then I would have to let go. Mm. And I've talked to a lot of other foster parents who say, you know what, they had that exact same fear, but they've decided that whatever discomfort or pain or hurt was involved in letting go was nothing compared to the pain and hurt that these kids have experienced, and that they need love to overcome that.
And the benefit that they can give these children in whatever brief time or long time that they
absolutely
happen to be touching their lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now let's talk about you. You've gotten some people together, and we were talking the other day, and it's kind of like snowballed for you, hasn't it?
It sure has.
Than you maybe thought it was going to.
Yeah, I actually went just out of curiosity and my own interest in what Every Child was. I attended an orientation in Eugene, and that night at the orientation found out that there had been active requests to getting a chapter started over here in Florence. And in a very short period of time, within a couple weeks, we got a chapter up and going here in Florence. I became the coordinator, and we started getting a few events going. And so just since November, we've done quite a few things already and have a handful of things on the calendar.
And so what are some of the things, what are some of the ways that you assist? Because when you explained it to me, you're sort of like that gap between people who don't have the ability to do anything and those who are inundated in the foster lifestyle.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you do to bridge that gap?
Well, some examples of things that we have done. Early December, we basically offered a weekend of childcare for people that had foster kids in their home. Many of them were relative placements that needed to go through a 3-day intensive training to get their certification, but they needed a place for those foster kids to be. So Every Child came in and offered childcare for the weekend. Something else that we did later on in December near Christmas, there are some parents who have lost their children, or DHS has removed the children for their own safety, but those parents still get to have supervised visits. And so what DHS does is they had a Christmas party that was a supervised visit, but where many kids and families were able to get together just right before Christmas. And so Every Child helped to host that Christmas party. We made a Christmas dinner, provided a Santa Claus, crafts, some gifts, and DHS also had quite a bit of gifts that were donated. So just stepping in that way, and we had a whole slew of volunteers that maybe are people that can't take foster kids into their home, but their heart is broken and they really want to help. And so they came and cooked and cleaned and took care of things and made it so that those parents could have that Christmas time with their kids.
And also, this was different than previous previous attempts at doing like a Christmas meal and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
You were telling me that people didn't want to go when it was over.
Well, and this was what site, the DHS worker that I'm working with, shared with me in the past when it was time to do this Christmas party. It was kind of just her and a couple of coworkers trying to get this together with a very small budget, and they might have pizza and they're running in and out of the kitchen and trying to keep things going, and then everybody, you know, does their visit and they leave. And this time what we really wanted to do was not only bless those kids, but bless those DHS workers that so much of the time just pay for things out of their own pocket and are overstretched and overworked. And so we brought a whole group of people in and we decided to do that Christmas dinner instead of pizza. And what she told me at the end was that that when the whole thing was over with, that the families really wanted to linger. They wanted to hang out and have more time. And it was just a different experience than it had been in the years past. And enough so that she said, I think next year we'll make the party a little bit longer, give those parents and kids more time together.
And I imagine, too, it gives an opportunity for healing, too, with the parents that may have had struggles. They may not be necessarily bad parents or bad people, but have had bad situations that have occurred. So this gives them a healing time where it's not a lot of stress. They actually have a regular meal. You know, they can sit down and enjoy the children.
We sure hope so. Yeah, that's a lot of what we want to do. And one of the other big projects that we have coming up is really about bringing full support around not only the foster families, but those parents that are struggling and working to get their kids back, and try and make them feel like this is doable and this is a desirable thing for me. I want to put my family back together.
Now, I know you have nothing against pizza, because I understand you had like a pizza and a movie night recently as well, right?
Yeah. And I don't get to take the credit for that. Just kind of helped promote it a little bit. But
okay.
Florence Christian Church and some of the folks there decided to host a Valentine's Day foster parent night out. And every child came alongside that and helped work with DHS to get the word out to some of our foster families here in town. So foster parents came, they dropped their kids off, the kids got to have dinner and crafts and a movie and games, and City Lights partnered with us, and we gave movie tickets out to those foster parents so they could go out and have a night on the town a little bit and get a break.
Does February 14th hold some significance for foster children? I know that I know a family that their adoption day for each of their children was Valentine's Day.
Really?
And they did that for the idea of, you know, that's the day of love, and it's more than about couples. It's just about fostering love.
What an inspiring idea. I hadn't heard of that, but I love that.
I didn't know if that was the case in more than one instance or that.
It might be. I know that the week of Valentine's Day is the week of our child. And so every child put some significance around that. But it would make sense that those are connected.
That would be a good
thing.
And
I just didn't know about it.
So now, financially, too, you know, what do you do for families and foster families that may have like on the spot needs? I know you told me a story about one family needed something and you guys were able to deliver it like within that couple hours from when they needed it. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So it's really, that's kind of a work in progress. We're building up our channels of communication between the group of volunteers that I have with every child and the caseworkers with DHS. But the idea is to say a foster family has an immediate need in their home, or they're getting a new child placed and they need a stroller or a bunk bed or diapers and formula, whatever it might be, and they need that right now today so that they can have a safe, comfortable place for kids to be tonight. And so then the idea is the DHS caseworker would contact me and I send out a group email to all my volunteers to say, hey, can anybody meet this need? Either you have it and you can donate it, or you're willing to put some money towards that. So just a couple of examples that have happened just recently. One was we had a baby being placed in a home, and it was a premature baby, and foster parents needed preemie diapers and formula and bottles, and they needed it within a couple of hours. And so I went out to my resources and a group of people, and we got what they needed and had it delivered before 5 o'clock. So
that's quick.
It was, and it was such a feel good experience for all of us. We felt like we were able to contribute and lift the load a little bit for that foster family who said, yes, I'll take that phone call and I'll change my life on a dime.
Right.
You know, make that something that feels a little bit more doable to them because they've got a group of people around them.
Would people in the community here be amazed at the amount of families that are needed for the foster system just in Western Lane County?
I think they would. Yeah. We, We don't have enough foster families here in Florence. The majority of our foster families here in Florence are what we call relative placements. So we've got lots of grandmas and grandpas. I'm sure some of our listeners, you know, neighbors, friends that are raising their grandkids, raising their nieces and nephews. And so that's a very active part of the foster community here in Florence. But what we don't have is what we call our general applicant homes. And those are folks that go through the process, they get their home certified, and they're willing to take in kids that they don't know, kids that are strangers to them that need immediate placement. And so we have in our whole community, we only had actually up until just a couple weeks ago, we had four families. We've had a fifth family that just got added, and it was someone that they knew. So we have, and I know that just this last week, there was a child from Florence who needed to be placed and had to go to Eugene because we didn't have a home for him in Florence. So,
and that's a tough thing too, because you don't really want to take a child out of their environment.
Right. So it was an elementary school child. So they're taken away from their friends, taken away from their community, their teachers, people that they know. So our goal with every child is not only to come around current foster families, but hopefully over time to encourage and support folks that may be thinking about being foster parents to be able to take that step and jump in, knowing that there's a whole lot of support around them to make them successful so that our own children here in our community get to stay here.
And you mentioned there's a 3-day intensive that people go through. Now, families that want to be foster families mm-hmm. will have to go through this, right? So if someone listening there says, you know, hey, I want to do this. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
To do this?
Well, there is what's called foundations training, and there's a couple ways to do it. My husband and I did it, as you said, it was a 3-day intensive. You can also do it across 6 to 8 weeks, driving to Eugene one night a week. So there are some options with that. It's usually offered by DHS every other month in that 3-day intensive format. So really, if someone was interested, they could go to everychildlane.org and go through the contact us information, and we could kind of escort someone through that process of how do I find out about becoming a foster parent and or adoption, or being part of the volunteer group that gets contacted for tangible needs. You can get to all that information through our website.
And what else can people do if they want to get involved?
You know, I think the first step was I'd love to invite any of our listeners who have an interest to come to an orientation we have coming up here in Florence. It's going to be Thursday night, March 22nd, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Crossroad Assembly of God has opened up their doors. They're letting us use their building for that orientation. Their building is located there, kind of kitty corner from the library off of 9th Street. So Thursday the 22nd from 6:30 to 7:30. And basically during that time period, we're going to give an overview of what does foster care really look like here in Oregon? What are the needs in our state? And then what the opportunities are, everything from, as we talked about, those tangible needs, what it might be like to do respite care. So respite care is something we didn't talk about very much yet, George, but it's an opportunity for a family to say, hey, I can take in some foster kids for a couple of nights or for a weekend while their foster family gets a break or goes out of town or has doctor's visits. So we do have a need for respite care in our community, and there's an additional training, and we'll talk more about that on the 22nd. And then you can also hear from there what it might be like to go through the process to be a foster parent or even to pursue adoption. We have here in the state of Oregon over 1,000 kids that are actually on course for adoption. Their parents are unable to resume that parenting role. And so those kids are looking for permanent homes. And that's in addition to over 3,000 kids we have in Oregon that are in the foster care system. So the need is extensive, not only for our own kids, our community kids here in Florence, but there's kids that are overflowing communities across the state that need places to be and need families that are going to step up. And so if you're interested, if this tugs on your heart at all, we'd love to have you come to that orientation on the 22nd. We'll connect you up with some other information and ways to dig a little bit deeper and kind of brush the surface and see at what level you might want to be engaged and where you might want to step in.
Now, we did talk a little bit earlier about the importance of, or how sometimes it's important to keep a child in its own community, makes it easier on them. But I guess with the need as great as it is, a child sometimes will be better served, you know, with a good family as opposed to having to stay in their own community.
Sure. Yeah. There's, you know, if we had, say, we had a sibling group of 3 or 4 kids and there was a home in their family that could only take one of them, or a home in their community that could only take one, it would likely be better for those kids to go to a different community and those siblings being able to stay together. So that sometimes one of the biggest challenges in finding placements for foster care is finding homes that can take multiple kids at a time so that we can keep sibling groups together. And that helps a lot for kids that are struggling and going through trauma, is to at least have that the stability and the familiarity of their brothers and sisters around them while they're going through it. And so having foster families that can provide that is valuable. And what every child really, again, you know, at the end of the day, what we want to do is help recruit foster families and then provide support to those families that have stepped up, so that the task of taking in kids and being a foster parent maybe is not quite so overwhelming, because you feel like you have a village of people around you making it an option.
Now, is every child the only way that people can go through this process?
You don't have to go through every child, though. You can go straight to DHS and you can get information there about becoming a foster parent. You can also go by their office right there on 101 next to Crow. And you can start the process there, saying, I have an interest in becoming a foster parent. It's probably a 3-month process on average. There'll be home visits. They make sure that your home is safe. And then you do have to do the training, background checks, et cetera, before they'll start putting kids in your home.
And that is... Is that available for single parents as well as married couples?
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. There's when we did our training, we came across, I don't know, there was probably half a dozen single parents, some young people, some not married, you know, early 20s folks that said, hey, I'll take somebody in and I'll do this and contribute to the need.
I imagine that would be tough. It's tough with two. I imagine.
Right.
One would be even tougher,
I would imagine. Yeah. So there's one of the things that you can do as a foster parent is you can kind of put some guidelines around certain age groups. A boy, a girl, you're best with toddlers, or maybe you work full time, and so it's best for you to have an elementary school age child or junior high school. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that you can do to try and find a fit for your own lifestyle and where your strengths are.
All right. And again, how can people get a hold of your organization?
Well, probably the best way is to go to everychildlane.org. They can also get a hold of me directly. I am open to phone calls and follow up, and my phone number is 541-228-4046. We're also going to be holding an orientation here in Florence for people that want to get more information and might be interested in what Every Child is doing here in the community. We've done one orientation already, and we'll be doing another one at the end of March. On March 22nd, it's going to be at 6:30 p.m. That's a Thursday night, and it's going to be at Crossroad Assembly of God. That's the church there on 10th Street, kind of kitty corner across from the library. So March 22nd, 6:30, anyone is welcome. It'll be about an hour long, and we'll talk a little bit more about what Every Child does. And we'll also just dig in a little bit to what foster care looks like in Lane County and get people more information.
All right. And if anybody didn't get that information, this will be on our website on Friday morning. So if you need some more information here or didn't hear the whole interview with Kathleen Kuntz, you can certainly tune in again on Friday on the website, or you can turn into KCFM tomorrow. Kathleen, thank you so much for what you're doing. I think it's a wonderful mission for you and for other people that want to help out. So we appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
All right. That's Every Child, folks. And everychildlane.org is one of the websites you can go to get more information. And thank you, Kathleen. And we'll be talking next with the folks from the Dune Restoration Project, Lisa Romano with the Forest Service, Bill Blackwell, former retired Forest Service, and Andy Vibora. They're all going to be joining us talking about what they're doing with the dunes right here on the March edition of Our Town on Coast Radio.